So, first week, London is red. Let's go, boys. Arsenal, the only team to win.
How do we all feel? Bad omen winning your first game, mate.
I'm not so sure on that, but sure, whatever.
It's downhill from now, though, isn't it?
Are you sure you don't want to introduce yourselves?
Who wants to talk about their team's game first? Luke, things that's fresh.
Oh, God. well, I only caught the second half because we were playing football today, which we also lost, which so I'm unhappy about that.
All right.
And then come back and watch Tottenham lose. Well, draw, should I say, but my past it's a loss because it feels like it.
Away from home.
Yeah. Away from home against Leicester, fair enough. You know, they just can't in the Premier League. They're fighting for something.
A manager that has Premier League experience as well.
Yeah, right. I read that the first half we just dominated. We literally destroyed in the first half. Now, I need to watch the highlights at some point for the first half, so I can't say too much on that. But how can we dominate the first half, come into the second half, and then just... I think I saw something like 70% possession, but we just look like the Tottenham team that can hold the ball like in some areas of the game. But there's just nothing at the end.
So that's like on the way back. And sorry, Bob's watched the game, so we'll ask him in a second. But on the way back from football, the radio was saying that James Maddison was having a great game. Right, the first half he was really really playing well from what they said and was making things happen. Obviously, Bob, you can give us a little bit more, really.
Yeah, I mean, Spurs were absolute shit. I'm joking. They were completely dominant in the first half. Maddison, they are right in saying, had an absolute blinder in the first half. Like, he was a part of everything. Leicester just couldn't control the left and right channels at all. Some of the crosses that were coming in, that were just unbelievable, to be fair. Like, Maddison was just pinging them left, right, and centre.
And was Solanke missing chances? Not getting on the end of chances? What?
He got on the end of a couple. And look, I think there was one in the second half as well that, which wasn't a header. But there was a couple of headed opportunities in the first half. First one he probably should have scored, I would say. It just kind of directed it straight at the keeper. Second chance, lovely ball in by Maddison. And, yeah, again, just kind of headed it straight at the keeper, but it was a slightly more difficult chance. But, yeah, just completely dominant. But it was one of those games where, you know, where a team's so dominant in the first half, you just kind of know if they don't put it to bed then and there, then Leicester are going to get something out of it.
Yeah, definitely my sort of second half. I was just like, I wish I sort of watched first half because... from what they were saying, it was great, and obviously what you're saying as well. It's the second half I got into it, and I was like, okay, here we go. And you could see possession was good, some of the plays was really, really good. And then we just couldn't, I don't know, maybe we were just trying. It reminded me of Arsenal back in the day with the passing. Wow. No, I know, some of the passing we were doing, I don't know if Bob would agree, but the passing we were doing was like 1-2, like great passing in and out of the channels and stuff.
Yeah.
But we just weren't shooting. Like, and the shots that we got were just at the keeper. Bentancur should have scored. Solanke should have scored. Son didn't look great in the second half. I should have took him off sooner.
He's captain though, isn't he?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I've always said this before when we had Kane. Like, if they're not playing well, I don't give a shit if they're captain. I don't care if they can do something magical. Like, get someone else on if they're not playing well. Just get them off. But yeah, if they wanted to continue playing and then...
So, would you, I mean, Richarlison would be the obvious choice to come on for Son,
which he did.
Right?
He did, yeah. He come on for Son in the end. But it was too little too late. That's the thing is with managers. We see it from out here and we can shout all day. We're not managers. You know, we're just fans. But you look at it, you're like, well, he's given the ball away like 3-4 times. We need to concede it for him losing the ball. He's, the control's not there with him in the second half. You know, same with Maddison. Maddison's control and he kept losing it and kept giving it away. You've got to look at the game and be like, shit, they're starting to now push us, we need to change something. They get the goal and then what is it? Reaction. Reactive again. It's we then make substitutions.
I hate to say it, England. Yeah,
well I said it, Southgate. I mean managers sometimes they need to understand that I mean, I'm not a manager, and I can only go from my perspective and seeing Tottenham all these years is that it's always been a case of, look, you need to make the subs at the right time. You know, Mourinho used to do it very well. Wenger used to do it very well. Ferguson used to do it very well. These managers just know when things are not going their way and they could see a goal coming. Well, every Tottenham fan in that stadium could probably see a goal coming. And I knew it as soon as the momentum started changing a little bit. And just after that, 1-1, we then, yeah, we had, they had a few more chances to score, which they should have done. Vardy should have scored. He was 1-1. Yeah. But yeah, that's watching. I could rant all day, and it would go on for like another half an hour. But there were some positives. Some of the new guys come on. Archie looked good. Burville looked all right. Jed Spent come on. He did all right. I guess he didn't have enough time. Werner, I prefer him on the left, not on the right.
Yeah. Did you see the keeper give Burville an absolute bollocking?
I did. But no one moved. Like Romero just stood still. He had two people around him. No one made space for him. And yeah, he lost the ball. But you can't blame him for that.
Yeah.
He had no... I mean, yeah, he could have just knocked it out. But players these days, they don't do that in Premier League football. They don't just kick it out when there's two players surrounded by them. They want to try and pass it out. And that nearly conceded. If that was Sunday League, we would have just knocked it out. Fucking have it.
Clive Harris defending.
Yeah, well, it would have been Clive Harris defending. If you had no option, why try and pay like a stupid pass? It made no sense. Like a Luke Jaw back pass to Mitchell.
That's not.
In the season.
Yeah. I mean, what can we do?
I mean, it's hard to go in any further because obviously, Bob, you're the only one that's watched the game. So we'll give Luke a little bit of a break here. I'm not grinning too much about it. Bob, West Ham.
Oh, shit.
You got one prediction wrong, didn't you? Ollie Watkins did not score.
He did not, and in fairness to me, I'm going to back myself up a little bit here. I didn't realise that Ollie Watkins hadn't played one single minute in pre-season, and he was a little bit rusty, apparently. West Ham, absolutely woeful in the first half of that game against Villa. I think a lot of credit could be given towards Villa, and especially Leon Bailey, absolutely just ripped us to shreds in the first half.
Yeah, it's quality.
Did he play down the right hand side? And who was your left back?
It was Emerson.
Emerson, who you'd been banging on about having a good pre-season.
I mean, he's a good player, to be fair, but I mean,
Leon Bailey ripped Arsenal apart last season. So there's no shame in that, is there, really? Like, no. He's a good player. And Emery, as we said last week, he's a good fucking manager. Like,
it's true. But, the first half, it was just absolutely woeful, to be honest. I know we scored in the first half, but it was from a penalty, which I'll get to in a minute. I'm sure you all have your own opinions about that. Villa's first goal... bit of a sloppy I'm not sure what he was trying to do, to be honest. Suchek, I don't know whether it was a pass back or a clearance or what, but that caused the corner, and I don't know if you've seen the corner, but it just looked like we decided just not to defend it. Banana came through, strong, powerful header. Brilliant.
He's good in the air. And the other thing that you've got against you as well is Areola's not exactly great at coming to collect, is he?
No, and I think there is arguments towards that. I think there was arguments towards Antonio not giving enough grief to Onana, but also I don't think enough of it. Like, there was just no organisation in our defence at all in that first half. The amount of times, I know Leon Bailey is a great player and he was running towards them, but they were just backing off and backing off and backing off. I thought they were going to end up in their own goal at one point. Like, it was just like someone's...
Nobody wants to put a foot in. Exactly. Like, nobody.
Yeah, and with the corner as well. What's his name? Max Kilman was kind of stood on the line and it just no one else around him. And I know he's kind of there to stop it if he does direct the header in that way, but there was no way that he was going to direct the header in that way. I just think it was just an absolute calamity, that first goal. And I could talk about it for probably an hour or so, but I'll just move on and stop boring you. then It kind of carried on that way. Villa were really dominant. I think it was quite evident that they were very organised in comparison to us, which you've kind of got to expect with a new manager coming in, I suppose.
Yeah, but again, he's managed in the Premier League.
He's managed in the Premier League. And to be honest, the team hadn't changed that much. We only started with, I think,
Max,
two. Max Kilman and Guido Rodriguez in midfield. But I didn't get to see Rodriguez in the first half, to be honest, because we just didn't win anything in midfield at all. As soon as it was going out there, Villa were on the end of it, winning everything. Then, obviously, we get the penalty. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, soft.
Yeah.
It is one of those where if it's given against you, you think it's not a penalty. If it's for you, it's a penalty all day long, right? Like, there's a tangle of legs in the box. I can really tell you who initiates contact.
Yeah.
It's soft, but you'll see them given all season long. That's
filthy. It was, could have killed him.
But it's the thing is yes, it was soft, but you can see why the ref's given it in live viewing. And I like the fact that they just went with it, even though I do think there is a bit in it from, but that's probably just my bias.
But it's got, like, again, the wording of VAR is it's got to be a clear and obvious mistake, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't clear and obvious mistake. Like, you've seen those given. I've seen them given. Like, yeah. The other interesting thing that does bring me on to a point that we may get time to discuss later is the new X or Twitter account for the VAR decisions, which again we might touch on a bit later. I find quite amusing.
It was 100% penalty, by the way.
It was a defender. So.
Well, I mean, I watched the game. It was 100% penalty. It was, he got a touch on the ball, yes, but he didn't get enough on it to knock it too far forward, and the player would have got it regardless. And then he clattered his legs and he went down.
He left his leg in as well, didn't he?
It was a penalty. Yeah, I mean, you've gone through. You've literally touched your heels on the ball, but you've literally just knocked it, I don't know, not even a yard in front. Like, just feathered the ball in front. The player would have got it, and the player couldn't get it because he's clattered the rest of his legs to go down. Anywhere on that field, anywhere, that's a free kick. So it's a penalty. I'm glad that they kept with the decision as well.
Yep.
And not change it, because that was a penalty. Any other team would have been like, oh, you know, how is that, if they got rid of it, sort of thing. If that was Arsenal Tottenham, we would have been pissed off if they didn't give it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm glad that they listened to the referee, because that's what they're doing this season, aren't they? They're listening to all the referees. It's like, well...
They don't want to overturn the ref.
Well, no, but...
VAR doesn't want to get involved too much.
It's funny, because it reminds me of... This is a bad analogy, by the way. This is a terrible analogy.
Can't wait.
Very, very bad analogy. Is that referees are there to referee the game.
VAR, oh!
Yeah?
Stop the press.
This is your problem. This guy
is talking knowledge.
Yeah? No, but there's a point to this, and I will finish it, yeah? Is that obviously the referee's there to ref the game back in
and
the day.
And the players are there to play the game.
No, yeah, back in the day. Then VAR come in to obviously help the referees, those minor decisions, yeah? But what I was getting at...
Not
is
minor
now,
decisions,
now,
major
well,
decisions.
It were major decisions. Obviously, it's changed now, isn't it? But what I'm getting at is that it's now going back to the referees again. You know, so VAR was supposed to help, but then took over, and the referees took a back seat sort of thing. Now it's the referees that is going back to it. But I was going to use the analogy of phones as in, you know, they used to be small and big, now they're back to small, but it doesn't matter. That's a terrible analogy. So Mike can cut that out completely.
No, we'll get out.
The main thing is, at least Luke's got my back, so
yeah.
I liked the analogy personally.
Thank you.
Especially as it's backing up my point.
Thanks, Bob.
But then, so obviously we get the penalty. Paqueta scores it. It's a good penalty, to be fair. Second half, we improved, I think. Quite drastically. We seem to take the tactic of give the ball to Mohamed Kudus and he'll just run with it, which, by the way, I think he was absolutely outstanding in the second half. And I don't think really any of the highlights showed that, to be honest. Down the left, he was causing... what's that geezer's name again? The Polish guy.
Matty Cash.
Matty Cash. It was causing him all sorts of problems down the left-hand side. Got a couple of good crosses in, which we couldn't really benefit from, unfortunately. But, yeah, there was a definite improvement. Then the substitutes happened, so Kudus moved over to the right. Somerville came on the left-hand side. Bowen came off. Pakatar came off. They were replaced by James Ward. I fucking know, I thought I wrote this down somewhere, but obviously not. James Ward-Prowse and someone else, can't really remember, to be honest.
Because Jared Bowen came off as well, didn't he? Did you say that already?
Yeah. Bowen came off, but Kudus moved over to the right. And there's James Ward-Prowse and... Oh, it doesn't matter, right? My point is that we did improve during that time. Obviously, Villa made their changes as soon as I saw that John Duran was coming on.
Yeah, it was written in the stars.
It was written in the stars because he had done the old hammer sign on Instagram when he thought he was coming to us, but obviously he didn't come to us and decided to ruin my Saturday afternoon, so that's always good. And then the game just kind of went on from there. Like, we had a couple of decent chances, I think, right in the last minute. Suchek had a chance, which he kind of headed towards goal. Rebound came out, and he just kind of fluffed it over the top. I'm not really sure what happened there. We did see Todibo come on, which I think there should have been some defensive changes before that. To be honest, he came on for Soufal. But yeah, it was a weird game. First half was dreadful. Second half there was definitely positives in there, and leaves me confident that we'll start seeing some decent results later on in the season, I would say.
Not if you keep playing Antonio.
Not if we keep playing Antonio.
Mate, he was dreadful.
I mean, to be fair, there were a couple of occasions because... I think Antonio is very good at picking the ball up in midfield and running with it.
See, that's the thing. Late on in a game, when he can be a battering ram, coming off the bench to replace Falkland, that's... Like, what defenders, after playing 80 minutes, is going to want Antonio running at them?
Yeah.
Not many.
But, that was the other change, actually, is Antonio for Falkrug. Unfortunately, we didn't really see... any of full group, to be honest, because there was a couple of crosses that went in, but Danny Ings was also on at the time. This was towards the end of the game, and he kind of got in front of him. So, I think there was definitely positives. I think Villa were just clearly the better side overall.
And as you kind of put out there last week, Villa are a good team. They might challenge for top four again this year.
They're in there for me.
I mean, they're beating Arsenal next.
Well, we'll come to that, eh?
By the way, that second goal for Villa was great.
It was some great build-up play. Last one-touch, two-touch football. It was a great goal to see.
That little ball over to the top to Mattsson. And that Mattsson as well. Is that his name? Mattsson?
Yeah. He's a Chelsea player who was on loan to Dortmund last season.
Yeah, he.
Is he still a Chelsea player, or is he sold?
He's still a Chelsea player. I'm pretty sure he's still a Chelsea player. I might need to check that.
Yeah, I think he is actually.
One of 118.
He was on the shortlist for my potential
player of the season.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as soon, because obviously Kudus moved over to the right when he came Bowen was substituted, and. Mattsson made a much better job of dealing with him. He looked pretty damn good, to be honest. But you wish Chelsea had him. But yeah, that was it.
Yeah. Cool. Do you want to go next, Mitch, or shall I?
I will go next. And I'm going to start with a very Spursy comment and say I was quite happy with the game. I feel like it's going to sound so stupid. That was a 2-2 game, which is what I predicted. We just didn't score two goals. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I love how you was taking the piss out of Luke a minute ago for his.
Am I right?
His
comments. Great insight.
Listen. Yeah, all right, but his prediction was 3-0, and that's madness.
Look, but none of you fucking pricks got any points.
Listen, you can brag about that later.
All right.
So yeah, I was happy with every area of the pitch, even the defence, because the defence is what I was most worried about. The difference at the end of the day was just two goals. Was Haaland glued to his feet for the first goal.
Difference was two goals.
Two goals.
I was going to say something, but I'll let him go on.
Two shots, two goals. Yeah, the reason I say that is because we had just as many chances as City. And who do we have up front? Nicholas Jackson.
He's shocking.
And he is...
Can't stay onside. Yeah.
Why are you not staying onside for that?
You can see the line.
Honestly, what is he doing? That wound me up so much.
And even the Haaland goal, right? Like, he gets a bit of luck getting through the defenders. And then your goalkeeper, just come and fucking take them all out. Come and get that ball.
Yeah, but like, then...
There's enough room there for you to come and just claim it. And the second goal, what's his wrist made of? Paper. Like, he should be safe with that.
He gave it away before that as well. But the first goal, Haaland did well to keep it to his feet, and then it was a nice little flick. It was the perfect flick.
The finish was good.
Over the keeper. But this, again, is the point with Jackson. So I think it was the second half. Jackson, Palmer puts in a beautiful ball for him, and it goes exactly to where Haaland was, in the middle of the box. If that was Haaland, he'd have buried that. Jackson makes a meal of it, fucks it up. And that is the difference. If we had a top-quality striker with the rest of the squad that we now have around him...
Well, that's why you're in for... What's his name from the Poly?
Just bought him.
Really? They signed him?
Felix, yeah.
Not Felix. Phoenix.
I think they've just signed Felix.
Apparently we've got a good deal on that.
Sterling's
got to be going as well with all the social media posts and whatnot.
I'm not a big Sterling fan anyway. And that seems like an easy cut to me. Like I said, especially now you've got Neto. And Neto did come on and he did play on the left, which I was happy about. Because you're not taking Palmer's position on the right.
The only way you get Sterling out now is by one of your dodgy backdoor Saudi deals. Is he going to want to go? Like, he's got 2 years left on his contract, isn't he?
3 years.
He's got 3 years, yeah.
So I don't know how much money he's on. But
70 million is what I heard. They have to pay him out of his contract.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, does he want to just sit there and rake in the money?
I would for 70
football?
Million. He's done that. He's won, the Premier League? He's won the Champions League? What more has he got to do?
Yeah, but you want to play, don't you? You're going to get that money elsewhere.
He has got lying kids though, hasn't he? So he's going to need the money.
But to cut him out of his 3-year contract, he's going to get a big payout anyway.
Why would you leave? Like, he's not going to be going to top class because the Chelsea fans don't like you. Get out. It's like Barcelona and what was his name, Nigel de Jong last year or whatever his name was. Yeah. They wanted him out, didn't they?
We need to cut some players. We've shot ourselves in the foot by offering everyone 7-year contracts. absolutely ridiculous. Back to the game. It was nice when Neto came on, played on the left. He came on for Nkunku, which was a shame because I thought he was having a good game, possibly getting a little bit tired.
I think he's going to be one of your better players this season.
Who, Neto?
No, Nkunku.
Yeah, he looked good. And a part of me was hoping Jackson would come off for Neto. Neto go on the left and then Nkunku push up to the top.
Big injuries last season.
Yeah, well, the same with, what's his name? Lavia, our defensive midfielder.
Yeah,
he had a brilliant game.
I've got a note about Lavia saying I think he was the best player on the park.
Yeah, he was.
And that's the best player overall as well. Like, I think he was better than any City player.
Yeah, and that probably shored up
my worries in the defence. But he's just winning the balls back and pushing the ball forward. And again, he wasn't there last season because of injuries. Mm-hmm. So if he stays fit, Nkunku stays fit. James is already injured, so we don't worry about that. Jesus fucking Christ. Neto stays fit. Neto left, Palmer right. Fucking get rid of Jackson. Jesus Christ. And if Nkunku isn't going to play up front, I quite like the look of that. I can't pronounce his name. Gaye. He's a young lad. He's tall, and he only cost us $6 million, which is an absolute bargain considering it's us. We like to spend the cash.
I'm not going to give it an out there statement, but Ivan Toney.
I'd like Ivan Toney, but that's not going to happen, is it?
Why not? He's going somewhere.
He's got to go somewhere. Yeah.
If it happens, I'm all for that. That could be a real game changer. With the attacking stuff we have now, with Palmer putting in those balls from the right and Neto on the left, Jackson is in dreamland. That's what every striker wants. What's he doing? He's like a Mitchell Brown. He gets in his head too much, and he just loses confidence and he fucks up and he can't control the ball. He can't shoot. He had another chance where he just sort of. I don't know if he knew where the keeper was, but he just half-arsed it into the centre of the goal. Pick a corner, mate. I really don't like him.
I think he's just bad, Mitchell. I don't think he gets in his head. I think he's just bad. I just don't think he's a good player.
I mean, he got a few goals last season.
He got one of the fucking flukiest hat-tricks in Premier League history, didn't he? Like, the ball literally hit him three times and went in.
Yeah, well, I'll take a lucky striker, you know? But what was I going to say? I mean, we lost 2-0, but I thought we looked good. I thought we looked good in all areas of the pitch except for the striker. Although, you know, I don't want to get too ahead of myself because City, you know, slow starters sometimes, and
they missed a lot of players.
They had 13 first team players out at the Euros. And we only had six.
I mean, Rodri, like, you've obviously done that stat of them losing games when Rodri's not playing.
Yeah, but Kovacic turned up. They played him in that role, and he turned up, and then he gets the fucking goal, didn't he?
The game, Mitch, I watched that as well. The thing about Man City is that they've got this ability to not have to play great. Like, I thought Chelsea played really well, in fairness. That's what you're saying as well, just couldn't finish. Man City in that game, they just know how to win games without performing.
They never look like they got out of gear too.
Exactly that. They kept it simple. And that's what that was the difference, is that you made the mistakes, they capitalised. They just kept it simple. And Kovacic just swept up when he needed to.
Yeah.
And he kept it simple. The goal and he scored.
The one time Edison makes a mistake in a season, your fucking striker's offside to capitalise on it. Edison won't do that again all season long now.
No, probably not.
I'm shocked. I mean, you're looking at the line. Stay onside and just be ready for it, because you never know. What was I going to say? Mine's just gone blank. I was going to say something else.
So one of the interesting things I can't remember if I read it or heard it on. I shouldn't name that radio station. On a national talk radio station that talks solely about sports. They said that the idea of Chelsea signing so many players on long-term contracts at the moment might be to get around some impending charges that, like, you're charged with some financial fair play stuff due to the Roman Abramovich administration, and there's a little bit of noise turn around to say, well, that's why they're doing these contracts for these young players on long term, because they're expecting a 2 or 3 transfer window ban. So it
wouldn't be the first time.
No, it might just be future proofing that. So with that in mind, you kind of need the striker, in my opinion.
If we can get Tony, Jesus. I'd still like to see
Jesus.
No, I don't want Jesus. I probably would. But I would like to see Gwehi fucking hell, however you pronounce it, have a bit more game time. I've gone off Jackson. I was going to say something, but I had completely forgotten. So yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic is what I'll say.
I didn't think you looked terrible. Like, it wasn't like watching Chelsea last season.
I thought it was going to be a game where City were going to dominate us and we might get a couple of goals and a break. But what it ended up being was pretty much 50-50 possession, both teams. And we both pretty much had the same amount of chances. Again, the difference is two goals.
They take their chances,
yeah. And we have a striker that doesn't. That's the difference.
Well, Arsenal, back to business, right?
Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, they won. Yeah, well done. 1-2. Well, yeah, that's it. Done.
So they, 1-2-0. Thank you, Luke. It's one of those games where Saka is class. Like, the boy is just, he's knocking on the door for world class status.
Oh, come on.
A goal and assist again.
Oh, come on.
Look at his figures.
Salah did the same thing. No, look at Salah's figures versus.
Yeah, Salah is. No, like.
Then we talk about Saka.
Salah is the best right winger in the league.
Knocking on the door. He's miles off knocking on the door.
Look at his stats. Look at his goals and assist fucking figures. And compare it against any other world class right winger, Luke. And you will see Saka's numbers are up there with the best of them. So he's knocking on the door. I'm not saying he is world class, but he's knocking on the fucking door, mate.
It's a very long door. It's one of those like what are those
you're just a clown.
Open one door, go to another one. You know, it's gonna be like the Matrix. You know, when the Matrix, when he goes through, he's got to go through all those doors. That's what Saka is.
You're a clown. We're going to move on past that because you're an absolute joker.
Continue. Sorry.
But other than, say, a 5-10 minute spell by Wolves in the second half, they never really threatened or worried us. Raya made one outstanding save.
That was a great save.
Yeah, what a save that was. Do I think Ramsdale would have made the save? Yeah, I do, if I'm honest. But one of the things that I'm a bit concerned about is we was a bit kind of lax with the ball at the back, and we played ourselves into trouble a couple of times and gave them two chances that they really should have taken. Like, there was one where Raya plays it short to Saliba, and I don't know if Saliba wasn't expecting it, or he then plays a ball out to Zinchenko and it's intercepted. It's a hospital ball, intercepted, and if the Wolves player is better, it's 1-1. We did that a couple of times. The other thing I kind of noticed, and I think we're going to see quite a bit this season, is there's an out ball. So the beauty of having Kai Havertz play the false nine or the striker role is the work that he does coming back that not a lot of people pick up on or comment on. But he does a lot of work defensively. And what that kind of allows is either Saka or Martinelli to stay high. And when Raya eventually gets the ball, there's an out ball there straight to Saka or Martinelli. And Martinelli's touch from the air is absolutely top tier. I'd say it now that you're going to see that ball a lot this season, and it's going to cause teams trouble because it turns a defence into attack in a blink of an eye.
It would have caused some trouble, except you just outed your tactics, Clive. Now everyone's going to know.
I'm sure all the managers are going to be listening to this podcast. Arteta. sorry, Miguel. The other notes I've got from the game is, to be fair, Declan Rice probably his quietest game in an Arsenal shirt. Thomas Partey played the holding role. Even Thomas Partey was a bit lacking when he had the ball deep in our half, a couple of weak passes and he lost possession a couple of times, which that's just rustiness. He'll iron that out if he's playing a lot. But because Declan wasn't having to do as much of the defensive, and I looked at the possession stats and there wasn't much in it. I think we had 53% possession against their 47, so we didn't dominate the ball. But when we didn't have possession of the ball, Rice was more just covering position rather than having to get stuck in. Party was doing the actual tackling. And then when we had the ball, everything was down our right, and Declan was playing on the left side of midfield. So there wasn't much for him to do on the ball as well. So it was quite quiet for Declan, which, and then he cramped up at the end, which you don't often see, which is quite funny. My other notes were when Zinc come off, not surprisingly, about 65th minute for Julian Timber. Timber just on it. Like, he's going to be an animal if he stays fit, and even if he plays, because we've still got Calafiori on the bench as well, who didn't play. And two players we didn't have on the bench is the Polish lad, I can't say his name, Jacob Kiriwar, and Tomiyasu. Yeah. Tomiyasu wasn't even on the bench. So, yeah, God knows, when we've got a fully fit squad, the choices Arteta's got to make. Ben White was absolute class again. Like, you're not dropping him from right back at the moment at all. So, yeah, it's going to be quite interesting to see. My other note was that the two incidents with the Wolves player that didn't even get booked. Like, we've all seen it, right? Kai Havertz brings him down in the area. Kai Havertz is lucky not to get booked for what he did in regards to just dragging him down. But then the player used Kai Havertz' neck as a cushion.
He didn't even get a booking for that.
Didn't get a booking for that. And then he full on
get him in the armbar at that point.
And then he full on groped Jesus. Oh. And Jesus reacted, kind of a bit of handbags, and Jesus got fucking booked.
Well, he's a bastard, isn't he?
And what does that player have to do to get a booking? Like, who knows? But yeah, obviously 3 points, first home game, and for me it was Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff. Sun was out. What a great day to start the Premier League for me.
Sounds boring, mate, to be honest.
It's perfect.
Nobody wants the comfortable win at home, come on, fuck it.
But yeah, I don't know if any of you guys have got any further thoughts on it, if you picked up on anything during the game.
So have you put the bus yet?
We don't release DVDs.
I think I saw that bus the last few games of the season for the last two seasons.
They've released it out for another year.
You are on it, aren't you? You are just full on. One bad result, his season's already gone, and he's attacking Arsenal.
I have to. Alex started it as well. What's that?
I saw.
I'm obviously more pissed off at it as well with that. So yeah,
There's a reason I didn't put Tottenham in my top four predictions.
Yeah, they'll be battling mid-table with us.
All right, mate, don't go that far. Bloody hell, Mitch.
Listen, didn't we? No.
No, you didn't. You didn't finish above us. Is that what you
were
going to
say? Yeah, it was close, though. We had a chance.
Man versus AI. Mike, hit the jingle.
Man versus AI.
We've got to keep that down. I think we should have that.
Where do we start with you shit cunts? Fucking hell.
Hey, I was only two goals out.
Bob just got the result reversed.
Yeah. If you just put my result in a mirror, it would be fine.
And Luke was in fucking dreamland. So
Luke with his 3-0. I think that's the
3-0
worst
away we're in. That is a terrible prediction. So yeah, AI is in a nice early lead with 5 points.
I blame Luke for that.
To our one. So I've kind of got a bit of a spreadsheet going on that I'm kind of developing as we go along, and it's going to keep a track of the AI's points and our collective points, and then separately it's going to keep our points as well, so we can have a mini league between the four of us, and obviously the league between us and AI.
I like how you predicted that on the first week when you got the points and no one else did.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden it's a good idea to you.
I mean, it's 1 point I've got. Like, it's not like I'm setting the world alight, Bob. Like, if you can't catch me with a 1 point lead, then I deserve to win, right?
Boasting about it then.
What did you predict?
I predict a 3-0 home win.
Oh, you're fucking just
Spurs. Oh, so I'm bad for saying 3-0.
So I thought Clive said 2-1. Yeah, 3-0. Fucking hell.
3-0. AI also went 3-0. 2-0. So, no, it didn't. 3-0. So that's what we're going to do. I mean, the other thing we didn't discuss is any kind of forfeits. Do we want a forfeit at the end of the season for whoever does the worst?
Yes, because okay. It will be Luke.
You talk about the points, yeah?
Yeah, so like in the individual league where we just go up against each other.
Are we going to predict each other's games as well?
No, we're just going to do our home game, like our team's games.
More points, mate.
Because I think if we're then starting to predict more, it just gets more complicated. So right. AI predicts against us individually and obviously wraps up all the points. Us collectively put our points into the human tally. But because I'm going to keep track of our points throughout the season individually as well,
yeah,
we can have a little separate league table for ourselves.
Yeah, definitely do a forfeit.
Yeah, so we'll decide on the forfeit later. We don't need to decide on that tonight. But yeah, okay.
Well, Luke has to wear an Arsenal top.
That's never going to happen, mate.
We discuss forfeits throughout the season.
Arsenal top, West Ham socks, Chelsea shorts.
It could be reversed for everyone. Like, get Bob in some Millwall shirt. I know that's not...
Nobody likes Millwall, come on.
Yeah, you'd have to wear Fulham, wouldn't you? They're your local derby. Oh,
don't be silly. We share a station.
But yeah, we'll talk forfeits throughout, and I just, yeah, as long as we agree on a forfeit, yeah, whoever loses at the end of the season, look, it'll be a bit of fun. So this round of predictions, do we want the AI predictions for? No.
No.
Okay, Bob. Palace away. What's your prediction?
I'm going to say
the first London derby of the season for West Ham as well.
So I don't think we're... I'm really torn between a 1-1 draw and a 2-1 West Ham win. I watched Palace against Bradford, and they
put it in a mirror, Bob.
Dangerous, but they looked as as disorganised as us. Do you know what?
I mean, that is a free kick as well. That's an absolute outrage.
That was. I'm going to go 2-1 West Ham win. Fuck it. I'm going to be confident.
2-1 West Ham win. Do you want me to give you the AI prediction now, or do we want to go on to Mitchell's prediction against Wolves?
No, it's up to you, Clive.
All right, Wolves versus Chelsea. Mitchell, what are your thoughts?
Right, well, I
done it that way.
Last week I had written down 2-1 win to us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tempted to change it to 2-0.
Why don't you go 3-0 away win?
Because I'm not stupid. I just, yeah. Oh, 2-1 or 2-0. I was surprised with our defence against City, to be honest with you. A great strike that probably should have been saved, and Haaland. So they don't have that at Wolves. I'll stick 2-1.
I'll also say, like, against us, I'm not going to say toothless in attack, but other than the one save that Ray did make, they didn't really trouble us. But we got a good defence.
So. Yeah.
2-1 to Chelsea is Mitchell's prediction.
Yeah.
Wonderful, Luke. You have Tottenham at home against Everton.
3-1.
3-1. You think Everton's going to score?
No,
mate, I think that's a more sensible prediction. Cause Everton looked not. Everton made chances against Brighton, didn't take them.
We drew last season.
Did you?
Yeah. The reason why I went 3-0 against Leicester is because we smashed them 4-1 last season as well.
Last season they was
season
a championship team.
Last, mate.
Yeah, mate, some didn't championship team.
Didn't they smash you the season before in the Premier League 4-1 or something?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
No, that's right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm fairly sure they did. I think Harvey Barnes scored, Madison scored.
If we're going by statistics then it would be 3-0, wouldn't it? So there we go.
So you're going 3-0 or are you going to stick with your 3-1?
I'm talking about Everton, I'm Leicester game, but the Everton game, 3-1.
3-1. Okay. We got Villa away. They were our bogey team last year.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the games we're going to make the slight the site adjustments and be better this season. So I'm going for a 2-1 Arsenal win.
I think that is going to be a fucking tight game. I think 1-1.
Well,
I know we're not doing that, but yeah. I think that.
I don't care.
I really rate Villa. I know
you do. I know you put them in your top four. I know. You're pushing that fucking mental, aren't you? Right. So, AIS predictions for the Premier League fixtures next weekend. We've got Crystal Palace versus West Ham. Both teams have been solid defensively. I'm not so sure about that. And this could result in a closely contested 1-1 draw.
Oh, I knew that was going to go. Yeah. They're going to fuck me over, aren't they?
Yeah. You did say it, didn't you?
Yeah.
That was your other prediction. So, right. Tottenham, Everton. Tottenham's attacking firepower at home might give them the edge. But Everton will be competitive and will score. Tottenham 2, Everton 1. Chelsea's quality, especially in defence and midfield.
They didn't mention the forwards, though.
No mention of forwards. Might secure them a solid away victory with Wolves struggling to find any goals. Chelsea 2, Wolves 0.
Oh, he's gone
2-0. Why is that a he? Could be a she. Let's not go there again, Mitchell.
Can I just say...
Arsenal's current form and attacking prowess could see them pick up a win, but Villa might be able to get a home goal. Aston Villa 1, Arsenal 3.
Oh, what?
Wow.
AI's on one there, aren't they?
I don't disagree with that. Like, as in AI's on one. Like,
yeah.
I think I'm not going to say I'm confident because, again, Aston Villa were a bit of a bogey team for us last year. But yeah, AI is very confident in Arsenal. Good job, AI.
Good job.
They're just warming up, though, aren't they?
So. Yeah, well, that was a training ground game for them. I'm tired.
Mitchell's signing of the season. Does he have one?
I think you'll be pleasantly surprised with the one I pick, to be honest with you, Clive. I shortlisted a lot of defensive players, actually.
Yeah.
To make difference to where am I looking here? Onana was one of them.
Yeah.
He ended up getting a goal this weekend. That's nice. And Mattson, it's because of the Chelsea links, obviously. But he could play left back or wing, and he did look good when he came on. I even considered Gueye because he was so cheap. And he could end up being an absolute steal. But, Clive...
Can you just summarise this and say that you haven't decided yet?
Oh, I have decided.
Whoa, Michael. Put a drum roll in, please. Beep, boop, boop, beep. Funny old drum roll.
I've gone for Arsenal's Riccardo Calafiori. Because you had a few injuries last season in the defence and... For the players that did play the whole season, they looked very, very tired. And you've got a lot of games this season. And being able to swap in... he looked good for Italy in the Euros. And being able to swap him in could seal and make the difference for that one extra point to get you the title.
That sounded like such an AI statement.
Yeah, it did. Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment. So, yeah, I'll go
like,
for...
Like you've asked AI that.
Arsenal.
No, generally didn't.
I don't go for any Arsenal players, even if they sign Messi.
It's a very
you just don't do it.
Yeah, but it's a very clever signing. It's a clever signing and shoring up just in case there's injuries. I just think,
as I said last week, is the small percentages, right?
Like, yeah.
I don't think I personally don't think we needed a defender to come in this market, but as you say, cover. And if he can, as you say, make that difference in the one game, like the West Ham game, Boxing Day, if he stops the goals or can make one assist in those kind of games, that small percentage.
Exactly that. And that's what I'm saying. That is your 1 point difference. Even if it is a couple of games, that 1 point difference could get you the title this season. Then it's a massive signing.
Yeah. So we'll see. I don't disagree. And, of course you don't. Yeah. Well, I mean, I went for Emil Smith Rowe, so, you know.
Yeah. Fucking Arsenal.
So the other, another bit of the agenda is any other signings for your clubs. Obviously, Luke broke the news to us that it looks like Chelsea may have got Joao Felix.
I didn't realise it's 40 million, though.
If I can get the right amount, it was...
So it's Felix and obviously Gallagher going the other way as well.
Well,
as
this is the thing. That's why I thought it was going to be a pretty decent deal, because I can't remember the other guy's name, but his medical failed. So that was part of the deal for Gallagher to go to Atletico Madrid. So it looked like I would probably get a good deal on Felix, because they still want to get Gallagher.
Yeah, 42 million fixed fee plus 4.3 million in add-ons.
Yeah, it's alright, I guess.
I still, like, again, another player. Do you need Joao Felix? Is he going to offer you anything different to some of your other players?
No. Absolutely not. But I mean, a nice rotation player. So in an already massive squad.
You're in Europe this season as well, aren't you?
Oh yeah, only just. Because fucking United end up beating City in the FA Cup.
Let's not talk about that. Luke will go off on one again.
Yeah.
So, Luke, you had Tottenham and Leicester announce Oliver Skipper is going to Leicester today as well?
Yeah, he's gone. He's been seen in the kit. So 20 million, I think, with up to 25 probably for add-ons and stuff. Which I think is not a bad signing for them. They've got Harry Winks as well from us last time. And having those two defensive midfield players will strengthen them up this season, especially with Skip, who has experience now, and he's a solid player. He keeps it simple. I think for 20 million for him is good. Take some of the price off of Solanke, 65 million, I guess.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, I mean, it would have been nice if we got Eze.
Yeah, Palace.
But he's release calls, I believe, is now gone. You have to bid now as to whatever they want to sell him
for.
And
they're obviously batting away Newcastle with Gaye as well, aren't they? I think they just rejected 65 million for him.
Wow.
It makes sense. If they sell those two players, well, see, you might
because they lost who went to Bayern Munich? Eze's the one still there. Who's the other winger they have?
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
French young.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. What's his name?
Oh my god, what is his name?
As soon as you say it, out. I know I'm going to.
Elise.
That's the one.
Well done, Mitch.
So, yeah. they can't afford to lose Eze as well. Absolutely not. So. If they do and they sell Gay as well, like they're going to be sitting on 100 million at least to go and play.
That's
with.
That's true, but this late in the transfer window.
Yeah.
When does it finish?
30th.
I think it's the end of the month.
I don't like this. I don't know. We have a tangent here, but I don't like that the season the transfer window finishes when the season starts.
Already started
because who was it the other day that Tony. He didn't play for Brentford because...
Well, that was a Brentford decision, though. Tony wanted to play.
I get that, but they're making clubs make that decision because if he gets injured, they didn't go and get the money for the player because he gets injured before, can't pass the medical. Well, I know it's a bit different medicals, but it's one of those things, isn't it? If he's injured for 6 months, they're not going to sign the player because he's been injured last game. Look at Ben Scott. He just got injured the first game of the season.
Do you think that's bad? Or has there been any kind of...
Oh, I thought you were joking.
I've not seen it.
I think it's concussion. I think he's talking and stuff like that now, so he might be all right. But it's one of those ones, though, he could be out for another 3 months. So I get decisions on that and him dropping the players for the transfers and stuff, but I just feel like it just changes the season, doesn't it, a little bit, just the beginning of the season, the first two or three games for teams that are like, oh, fuck it, I've got to drop the player now because... Yeah, he might be leaving next week. Yeah. I don't know. That's my opinion. My little tangent on it.
So, is that the first rant of the season, do you say?
No, it's not a rant. It's just my opinion of the transfer market.
It's not a rant. I'm just not fucking happy.
Well, yeah. But it ruins the game, I think.
because it's like any club, you've got a big player that's maybe up for sale, or you're not too sure, you're in that limbo. Now you play him, you don't play him, and then the manager's got to change his tactics for the next game when your best player, in this instance, obviously Tony as an example, is the best striker. Yeah, they did win, fair enough, but they lost that game. It would have been like, oh, because Tony didn't play, he's in the transfer limbo. That would have been the news.
Oh, I'd love it if he comes to us.
Just finish the season, just finish the transfer market before the season starts. It's not difficult for them to do that.
I agree. Personally.
Yeah. It gets it all done, doesn't it? So everyone's now ready, fresh for the season.
Yeah, I don't know, because, say Bentancur is out for a long time now.
Yep.
Do you not like the fact that you've got a chance to go in and replace him or get someone in to cover that?
No, we've got 26 players. We've got 26 players, and plus we've got under 21s.
Nothing.
We've got down to 20. Chelsea have got like... yeah, sorry. Yeah, Chelsea have got like five squads. But we've got to start bringing some of these youth in. That's what I like to see, actually. That was another good thing about Tottenham. We see Moore play, Bergvall. They're both young players. I was 16 and 18 coming on in the Premier League. It's mental. It's about time we start seeing these young players come through. Arsenal have been doing it for years. Yeah, it's just like, why can't we? They must be good enough, some of these players. Why have you got to spend 50 million on a player sometimes when you've got a decent player in the youth that can come up? There's bound to be a few in there.
Agents like to make money, Luke.
Well, I get that, but you want to win something and you want to build these players up. Why not start using the players that are there? It's because they just move on, and then you realise that, oh shit, I'm going to be Chelsea, I'm just going to buy the player back for 50 million. Oh, you know what, I'm going to sell him again, but you know what, fuck it, I'll buy him back again for 80 million. Why not?
It does upset me.
Yeah, it would upset me as well if Tottenham were doing that. But again, just an opinion, not a rant. We'll get to my rants later on.
It sounded like a rant. The second half of that sounded like a rant.
It was a minor rant, but it wasn't an aggressive one.
Wasn't an aggressive rant. I love that. Arsenal obviously haven't signed anyone else today, so fun. Nor have they sold anyone. I don't believe we're still possibly looking at offloading Eddie Nketiah and Reece Nelson. But I believe Reece Nelson's wage is causing a bit of an issue at the moment. But teams like Palace are interested in him, so it'd be good to see him. He needs first team football now. Like he is an Arsenal boy. He's a high end boy. So it would be good to see him start playing more. But Arteta doesn't fancy him. Doesn't think he's a long term substitute for Saka. It was nice actually to see Saka get subbed off for once this weekend, and him switch Martinelli over to the right hand side, which he doesn't often do. I'd still like to see a striker come in, but who knows. Apparently we're pretty much done deal with Marino, the other midfielder, which again would question, if we're spending 40, 50 million on him, kind of what is the plan with our midfield? Is that just cover, or are we looking at dropping Partey? Because you're not dropping Odegaard or Declan Rice, that's for sure. One little stat just to back Saka up as well, Luke, just because I know. And this is just one of the stats. He has 20 goal involvements against the big six clubs. Only Salah and Kevin De Bruyne has more.
So he's knocking on the doors, basically.
He's knocking on the door, which is what I'm saying.
Doors.
It's a long old door.
Like I said, long old door.
And I will have more stats ready for next week as well, because you're obviously awoken the beast in that sense. Oh. And that beast is Saka. Any ins and outs at West Ham today, last week, in this week, Bob?
In this week, Wan-Bissaka.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Signed in for 17.5. I actually think it's a good signing.
That's a good bit of business, sir.
Yeah. It's a really good loads signing. Of Premier League experience at a high and level.
I think one-on-one as a defender, one of the best right backs in the league.
Yeah.
A defender, I don't think he's great going forward, but I think defensively he's absolutely solid.
Still well at West Ham, then, wouldn't he?
Well, it's good to see him go to a bigger club, isn't it?
Exactly.
Fuck you, Langley.
fuck you, Langley. It's good to see some backup for Soufal as well, because I do actually love Soufal, but he does get gassed towards the end of the game quite often. I think the idea is that he's just completely restructuring our back four, so I wouldn't be surprised if Wan-Bissaka just kind of slowly takes over in that role.
Anything else? I think we're going to call it there, so we're not going to do club kits this week. We'll try and push that to next week.
I am very tired, Clive.
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling it. We've hit an hour, so I'm just going to do one more thing, and that's give our fifth man, Mike Adlam, a big shout out for editing, putting all our jingles together, doing all the music. He's the fifth man at the moment.
Mike.
We do love you, Mike.
We do.
Especially for editing out Mitchell's sexism.
Yeah. Oh, cut that as well. Just cut that.
Bloody hell.
I can't.
That began so well.
That's a wrap. We're ending it. Good night.